Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sometimes people wonder why we're so strict. Their words, not mine. I think a loving father does have some strictness about him. A loving father does not just let his son eat Twinkies for breakfast and never brush his teeth. A loving father does not let his daughter run out into the middle of a busy highway to get herself hurt or hurt someone else. No, the loving parent gives direction to his children. He chastens them when they go astray so that they do not further harm other people or themselves. God is extremely clear throughout our scripture lessons today to beware of false prophets. That is, those pastors who get up and preach, sometimes without a call. Sometimes they preach a gospel that is different than what the Bible teaches. In fact, they will litter their message with things that go against the very word of God. And it cannot be clearer. What does God say through the prophet Jeremiah? Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. How many times have pastors in countless churches said it's okay to do what you're doing? Peace, peace, even though there is no peace. How many times have you heard them say, God just wants you to do whatever makes your flesh happy? Maybe those aren't the words that they use, but they'll say, come as you are, leave as you were. Jesus loves you. Now, there's a lot of truth in that. Notice I sprinkled truth with lies. Jesus absolutely loves you. But he does expect your heart to change through his word. By his word, your heart that was heavy with your own sin is to be given over to him and transformed. The stone is to be turned into flesh. A heart of flesh that beats for him. God does desire you to be happy. He does desire your joy. But he desires that your happiness and your joy and your fulfillment is not found in the cravings of your flesh, but in eternal communion with him. To say peace, peace, when there is no peace. To say what you're doing is completely fine and we welcome you just like that and we don't expect you to change at all is to send the blind down a road not to life, but to death. I did not send them, yet they ran. I think the words of Jesus in our gospel lesson cannot be clearer. And to give consideration to the last words that I read right before I said, this is the gospel of the Lord, think about these words. Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Do the fruits that are born show Jesus and the work that he does in the life of sinners, or does it show the lies of the devil? Because if it's the lies of the devil, you will see that that tree is not bearing the proper fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. We have a swath of people that say, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. I was raised whatever. I was raised in the church. I give a tithe every time there's a funeral. Those are not marks of being an active, living Christian. God desires you, all of you, not just a check every once in a while, not just I was raised in the church, but I haven't been to church in years. God desires your fellowship with him. In all your ways, you praise him. In all your doings, you glorify him. Not the life of sin that the world clutches to, you praise him. And so he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we not put the name Christian on our church building? We talked about you. And he will say, did you preach what my word said? Or did you devise cleverly designed myths and lies just to pad your pocketbooks? Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When this world ends, when Jesus Christ returns in all of his glory through the clouds with the angels and the hosts of heaven, on that day, those pastors, preachers, and teachers will give an account, just as all will. But their account will be more hefty because God had charged care of souls. Are there days where I would like to stand in the pulpit and only preach nice things to you so that you like me better? Yeah, there are days that I would like to do that. But am I actually helping your soul in that process? Am I helping you to see that a life of sin is a life that leads to death and decay and destruction? That we are to turn from those things that will rot us from the inside if we do not excise them? I would rather preach the whole counsel of God to you and sometimes have your conscience twinged, but that you bring that in with a repentant heart to the foot of the cross than to stand on that day before my Lord and your Lord and him to say to me, why did you not preach what I gave you? Why did you not preach my word? Why did you see a people that was hurt by sin and yet you preached nothing that would lead them to righteousness? Depart from me. I never knew you. It sometimes seems like the mean thing that we practice closed communion, because people don't really grasp why we have communion and fellowship to begin with. We practice closed communion, that is, our altar and our rail is open to those who share that public confession with us, who have joined themselves in doctrine and practice to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, those that we are in fellowship with that confess what we confess. Communion is not just a me and Jesus moment, it is a communal act. I know that there are churches just up the road that say, we practice open communion right in their bulletins. That means anyone who believes that Jesus died can receive communion. There are concerns about that. I had at least two people send me a video recently of an ELCA pastor talking about how, and here's going to start with the right words, this is not my altar, this is not Trinity's altar, the name of the church that he was serving, this is Christ's altar. Those are all beautiful and true words. This is not my altar. This is not St. Peter's altar. This is Christ's altar. But what that means for us is that I am a steward of these mysteries. Would it be easier for me in the short term to say, y'all come, so that nobody ever gets mad at me? Yeah, it would. But if on that last day he says, why are you not faithful in caring for these people? Depart from me, I never knew you. That is the word of God. But in that video that was sent to me, that man up front said, you don't have to believe what we believe. You don't have to be Lutheran. You don't even have to be Christian come. Give consideration to the weight of communion. This is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not because I think it is, not because you think it is, because he has declared that it is. And so when you give consideration to the words, Jesus said, what of the bread? He said, take, eat, this is my body. Of the cup, he said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. These things are given and shed for you for the remission of sins. But are they always received for the remission of sins? 1 Corinthians chapters 10 and 11 speak very clearly on this. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than him? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And give consideration to his words in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, I received these words. This is a man that was on his way to further torment Christians, and Jesus knocked him off of his horse, blinded him, and told him to knock it off. He received that revelation directly. And he goes on, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And he gives us the words of institution, the words blended with the words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that are recited over the bread and wine that give us the body and blood. And he says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. It is a beautiful medicine of immortality for the repentant sinner who comes in faith, believing and confessing that this is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ that he gave, that he shed on his cross, for the remission of sins. But to those who do not believe that, they receive this to their judgment. For those who do not come with a repentant heart, the King James says they receive it to their damnation. We come together as a communal reception of the Lord's Supper. We do this together. Therefore, we are to be united in doctrine, in teaching, in confession of faith. 1 Corinthians 1, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Later in that video, that man, as he was reciting over the bread and wine, and as he was about to lead them in the Lord's Prayer, could not say the words that Jesus had actually given. Rather, he said, as Jesus taught us, our parent. The word of God is extremely clear. The word Father is not a hard word to say. It is a confession of who God says he is. Use his preferred pronouns. Use the words that he has given to his church. He is Father. Embrace him as Father. Let him love you as a father who loves unconditionally better than your earthly father ever can. Treat Jesus as your brother, the one who has risen from the dead and is a co-heir with you of that righteousness, not because we've earned it like he did, but because God our Father has given freely to us. This is not my altar. This is not St. Peter's altar. This is Christ's altar. And he desires that those who kneel here together share a joint confession of faith, that they have repented of their sins, that they have cried out to God for his mercy, and that they trust in this eating and drinking that they receive the forgiveness of sins. I have no doubt that we have Christian brothers and sisters in almost every denomination currently on this earth. I have no doubt that you do not have to be Lutheran in order to get through the doors of heaven. But I also have no doubt that pastors and the people that come to hear the word need to take his word seriously. They need to be slaves to his word. Not the will of the devil, not the will of the world, not the will of a culture that has rejected him, but rather the word of God. You have been made sons. You have been made heirs. You don't have to earn your father's love. You don't have to earn any of it. It is all given to you as an inheritance because you are the brother of Jesus the Christ. What a joy and blessing that is. Male and female together, you are sons. You are heirs. You receive everything. St. Paul writes to the Romans in our epistle lesson, "Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Be led by the Spirit, not by the lies of the world. Live your life in Christ. Luther has a phenomenal sermon on this text. I'll only give you a bit of it this morning. St. Paul reminds his Christians to think about what they have received and why they were put in that position, namely that because they have the forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit, they should not again lose this. Do not indulge in sin, but resist it. Continue under forgiveness. Fear God. Retain faith that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Like us, St. Paul had to deal with two groups, the righteous and false Christians. To be driven by the Spirit of God means to get a heart that desires to hear God's word, believes that in Christ he has grace, that forgiveness of sins, to confess and demonstrate this faith before the world, to seek God's glory above all things, so that he lives without offending, serves others, is obedient, patient, chaste, good, kind. On the other hand, the devil, who is also a spirit, also drives the hearts of the world, but in such a way that we easily see he is not a good spirit or God's spirit. He only drives his people to the opposite of what God's spirit drives, so that they have no desire to listen to God's word or to follow it, but to despise God, become proud, arrogant, greedy, and unmerciful. Therefore, everyone should watch out lest he deceive himself. Many want to be called Christians who certainly are not Christians. We can perceive and see this from the fact that not all are driven by God's Spirit. They must have a spirit that drives them. If it is not God's Spirit that drives them against the flesh, then it must be the other evil spirit which drives them to the flesh and its desires against God's Spirit. For this reason, they must be either God's own dear children, his sons and daughters, called to eternal life and glory, or rejected and separated from God, the devil's children, and with him heirs of eternal fire. You can love and serve the devil and the world in this life, but do not be surprised when you wake up on that day in the same place of condemnation that he is. You can love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this life and wake up in joy on that final day to see him for all of eternity, where you will have joy and happiness and fulfillment and communion with him and all the saints who have gone before you in the faith. Walk his path, his life, his will. And if the devil and the world gets mad at you for it, so be it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The church sings, so be it, then I say, with all my heart each day. Dear Lord, we all adore you. We sing for joy before you. Guide us while here we wander until we praise you yonder. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.